With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
All right, this is dangerous because I don't really think it's in anybody's best interest to get our next caller mad, but this is going to probably piss him off. So, Mike, New York Mike joins us. Mike, I got to tell you that I'm getting a text from a listener, so I just want to let you know. Said, I apparently listen to too much sports radio because this will now be the third time I've heard New York Mike make the same pick today. So what are you doing? You're just kind of whoring yourself out here, bud.
This is the first person I'm talking to is you.
Well, then the guy's lying.
What are you talking about? Maybe I talk to people on the street because they say they listen to your show and they hear me. So maybe that's what they're talking about.
Maybe it's just getting out there through like word of mouth, like the old days. It's just the neighborhood.
I just left Kearns, and everybody in there right now is listening to you.
Hi, guys. Hi, people at Kearns, which, by the way, I'd like to point out, is just an absolute license to print money, that place, is it not? It is always got a gajillion people in there. It's unbelievable to me. Just thought I'd say.
It reminds me of the Brownie Stone in New York.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Yeah, that would be a good place for you. You would like Kearns. That's a very, that's got a New York vibe, I would think.
But my friend owns it. Clay is the owner, and he's a friend of mine. But now I got in touch with my best friend again, Jimmy Numbers. Like I told you and Nick and everybody at ESPN, you got a problem, call me and I'll help you. He's the one that helps me.
He's the guy you subcontracted to.
Yes, sir. Hey, Bob, did you get an envelope from me?
Oh, I did. I meant to tell you, not only did I get it, I did exactly what you told me to do and tripled. How about that?
What'd you do?
I played a blackjack and turned $20 into $60.
Okay, now could you do me another favor?
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
I'm pretty good at picking fights.
Okay.
Fight Saturday.
All right.
This guy's 900 to 900. You put bet 100, you get 900. And I think he's going to win. His name is Otto Wallen. OTTOWALLIN. Otto Wallen.
All right.
He's 900 if he bet 100.
Wow. That's a 9-to-1 shot. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so if you bet 20, you're going to get 180. No, yeah, 180, right? Yeah.
Yeah, well,
90 is,
I already turned the 20 into 60. I'll just let the whole 60 ride. So we'll put 60 on there, and
you get over 500.
We'll get 540 back. It'll be dinner of Mill and Tony's on me, pal.
Oh, beautiful. Then I want to give you, can I give you a Thursday night game?
Yeah, I've been waiting. Yesterday you said you were going to call back and make the pick, so we're all waiting.
Okay, here I am. Just one more shout out to Jimmy Numbers. I missed you, man. I'm glad you're back. Hey, Bob.
Go ahead.
You ready?
I am. Yep.
Okay, Tampa Bay is +6.5. They started out at +5 yesterday morning. Carolina's -6.5. They're both horrible with the ratings that I went down in my book. They're all negative, 1.5, 2.5. This is for Tampa, then the same thing for Carolina, but I'm going to pick Carolina -6.5 to blow out Tampa Bay tomorrow night.
All right, well, they're actually giving 7 here, but that's still okay. So -7.
They're still going up. I don't know why. Well, I know why, because I picked them. I know. You want to hear some street news?
Okay, big fan of that.
This is some street news that I got from Kearns. You know those football tickets that are out?
Yeah.
I told him, he said, you know, being that I pick games, which did I like the best this week? I told the Raiders getting 8.5 against Kansas. They ain't even on the card. The guys that put them cards out were smart not to put them on the card. You believe that?
Oh, wow. They're not taking any chances. You know,
no, but he's going to try and get them straight up. I hope he can, but they're still on the computer as a +8.5 against Kansas. You know who went out yesterday for Kansas, right?
Who's that?
I think it's the running back or the Tyrell Hill.
Oh, he did? Hill's out?
Yeah, he's out for 6 weeks.
Oh, I didn't see that. I did not know that.
Did you hear about Antonio Brown?
No, yeah, Chiefs Hill hurts clavicle out weeks. I did hear that. Yes, I did see that. Yes, and Antonio Brown. Yeah, he's practicing today, though. They're not going to. I don't think they're going to keep him out of the game unless something develops between now and the weekend.
He's out.
Oh, they did. They declared him out.
He's out.
Oh, that was news.
Hey, don't I ever lie to you for 4 years? No.
Well, then that's I they just had him on TV practicing.
That was probably a practice from last year. They could show that all they want.
He's not going to play.
He's not playing Sunday.
All right. Good enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, make sure you.
Hey, I'm going to give you two. Hey, this guy that called you and said he heard me three times. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'll give you his number. You can go. You can go mess him around a little bit.
Don't give me his number. Trust me. Don't give me his number. He won't have a number if I get it. His number will be up. You know what I mean? And I'm not joking. Right. I'm not joking.
All right. That's why I'm not going to give it to you. I protect my other listeners. I make sure all our listeners play nice with each other. So
I want to give you two college games for Saturday so I get them out of the way. I'm just going to give you all NFL on Friday.
All right. I like that. Give me the college games. Go ahead.
Michigan State minus 14. Arizona State plus 14. I want you to take Michigan State minus 14.
Michigan State, according to my website, is that's it, minus 14. So you want Michigan State to lay the points?
Yes, they're at home, yeah.
All right, what's the other one?
Syracuse plus 28, Clemson minus 28. I want Syracuse plus 28.
Syracuse plus 28. That's a lot of points for a conference game. I agree with you. And the game is at Syracuse, too.
Is that what you have? Is that what you have?
I've got 27.5, but that wouldn't change the way you see it.
No, it's all right. It's okay.
All right.
But do you see the Raiders? Are they still there?
The Raiders on my sheet are now at you keep bouncing around on me. I just left the NFL. Let me go back. The Raiders are Where the hell did they go? I just had them. Raiders. There they are. They're getting 7 only.
Yeah, from 9 to 7, somebody knows something. That's me. I'm not talking about them no more. They go down to 0 by the time Sunday comes.
Yeah, you want to keep your mouth shut and keep the points. All right, so Oakland plus 7. All right. All right, buddy.
Hey, Bob, I'm glad I got to give you the games, but there's one other subject I'd like to tell you.
What's that?
Today is the 18th anniversary of the Twin Towers.
I know. Very somber.
I want to send a message to my brother. He took 20 sanitation trucks from the Bronx up to the Twin Towers. He had 30 pitches that he took. Well, he wasn't supposed to take them, but he took them. And I gave a cassette to Dina. I want you to get the set off of him.
All right. Well,
I want you to get the pitches because he just keeps them in his desk.
All right. Well, that's very nice.
I thought he was going to post them on the radio or something, but he put them in his desk. I want you to have them.
It's very difficult to post on the radio, Mike. It's an audio medium. How are we going to get pictures over the radio?
No, Dina has them in his desk, I said.
All right. All right. Listen, I got to go. I got another Paisan. Fran Fraschilla is holding. I got to get to him. So thanks, buddy.
Bob.
Good talking
Bye-bye.
To you. All right. New York, Mike. Franny, it's all Italian day. We had Mike, and now we got you. He's giving us picks. He's threatening to whack other listeners. It's a very entertaining segment. So, how are you, bud?
You know what I always say when you're on the radio: never have your back to the door when you're on the radio.
That's how Italians go to every restaurant, right? They always sit with their back to the wall, facing the door. You got that right.
Exactly. Even in a radio station.
It's a good idea. No,
hey,
no.
By the way, when you were a kid, did you ever see those guys play those football betting parlay cards?
Oh, yeah. You know how bad it is in New York? We had them in high school.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
They were fun, though. I mean, yeah, and that's when I began to realize, I mean, listen, if, like anything, if you overdo it, it can be bad. Sugar, overdo, can be bad. Certainly, and certainly if you bet, you know, more than you can afford, it's bad. But they were fun. Because when I lived in Europe, I mean, even these little old ladies, would have those for the soccer games.
No doubt about it.
The weekends, they all were playing their little tickets, and they were all, watching the games. I thought, this is kind of fun. What's the harm in it? They're not hurting anybody. So
no different than CYO bingo.
Exactly. No question about that. Well, I'll tell you what you lost some money on today is if you took the U.S. and laid the points. Out they go in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
I know this wasn't our absolute A-list, But we had some good players there, and they had a lead. In the fourth quarter, it went away. And as always, whenever they lose, the question is how much of it is on us and how much of it is on the gap narrowing between U.S. basketball and the rest of the world.
Well, you know, Bobby, how much I love international basketball. Total overreaction today on the part of people who want to overhaul the system. We ought to do it differently, you know, change the coach, change the players. The simple fact is, because we have reestablished dominance in the world of basketball at the professional level, going back to Coach K taking over in 2006, it's gotten to a point. And by the way, the FIBA people changed the format. It used to be that the World Championships were played 2 years before the Olympics. This is the first time it's being played a year before.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't want it to interrupt the FIFA Soccer World Cup last year. And so, quite simply, I would say 34 of our best 40 American NBA players did not play on this team.
Because they don't want to do it 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. You know, if they're going to play until the end of the weekend, training camps start in 2 weeks. It starts earlier for some of the NBA teams taking overseas trips. And, you know, quite frankly, we saw this coming, that a lot of guys were dropping out. And I think, it's great for basketball. We know how good the NBA is now when it's filled with a quarter of its players coming from around the world. And today you saw Rudy Gobert, why he has been the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year. We saw a terrific performance from Evan Fournier, who is on the verge of being a very good player in Orlando. And, you know, it's not a big surprise at all. This is a very incomplete USA team. Most of us who follow the game know this was the case going in, and that means in a one-and-done situation, USA, you know, unfortunately gets knocked out in the quarterfinals.
I want to know what your thoughts are on this. Fran Fraschilla is with us from ESPN. The U.S. was leading going into the last quarter by 3, and they only scored 13 fourth-quarter points. And my take on that would be, while you've got some really good players here, with the exception of maybe Kemba and Donovan, the rest are not guys that on their team in the NBA are go-to guys in the fourth quarter. They're kind of support players. And Donovan, I don't think, scored in the fourth quarter. And unfortunately, Kemba had a really subpar game. He only had 10 points. And so it's not like when we send all our stars there where, you know, if option 1 and 2 don't work out, 3, 4, and 5 are just fine. They're really, I mean, Joe Harris, Marcus Smart, these are support players for the teams that they're on.
Without a question, and then throw something else in. FIBA basketball is played much more similarly to college basketball in that there's no defensive 3-second rule. So the isolation game doesn't work as well internationally unless you have the best players in the world, like we've seen Kobe and Carmelo and LeBron James, you know, Dwayne Wade, et cetera, in the past representing the U.S. So now you have, you know, the ability to play zones, pack it in on non-shooters, take away Kemba's drives, Spider's drives. And in this case today with France, you had a 7-foot, you know, the stifle tower back there. So not surprising. I do think that the one thing that I liked from the USA team throughout this tournament was they were really getting good side-to-side ball movement. And I really thought there were times today where they started to get stagnant, stood around, and waited for, as you mentioned, a Kemba or Donovan to go make a play. And that's just not the way this team was constructed to win because they had so few of those go-to guys you talked about.
It's interesting. When you read the comments afterwards, it just amplifies what you're talking about. Popovich was asked after the game, you know, about just what you were saying about the 34 players not being there. And he said, look, I think it's a disrespectful notion to even bring something like that up.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful to France and whoever else is in the tournament. If France beat us, doesn't matter who was on the team. That's the simple fact. And Brian Windhorst's piece about it said that basically, you know, even though the U.S. is the U.S., the feel of watching the game was that the U.S. was clearly didn't have the best player on the floor, that's for sure. And collectively, they didn't have the best players. They were undersized, and Pop was looking like he was trying to coach an underdog team in many ways.
Yeah, and you know what? For your listeners, Bobby, just have them, if they're an NBA fan, go look at the 5 individual award winners this year. And all 5 of them, Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, I'm not exactly sure what all the awards were, but all five players were guys that were born outside of the United States, obviously starting with the Greek Freak. And, of course, Jokic had an incredible season. Gobert is certainly a defensive stalwart in the best league in the world. So, yeah, you know, I wouldn't say the world is caught up to the U.S., because here's what's going to happen, in my opinion, and this is why I don't panic at all about this. U.S. is going to send their best players to the Olympics next year. Mm-hmm. It's not a heavy lift. The Olympics are early. They'll end in early August. Guys like Steph Curry and LeBron and Anthony Davis can leave Tokyo and start their tours of the Orient to sell their Nikes and Under Armours, which is what they do every summer anyway.
Right.
And it's a great marketing tool for the best players in the world next year, mainly from the United States. So we're going to send a great team to Tokyo, and we're going to win probably most of those games by 20-plus, win the gold, and, you know, everything is going to be, all's going to be right with the world, if you will. But it doesn't discount that in the last 25-plus years, going back to 1992, the basketball globe has shrunk. And to me, as a purist, it's so much fun to see some of the best players in the world coming from places like Serbia, France, and other places like that.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I'm as patriotic as anybody. I would love for us to win the gold. But watching this, Windhorst, these are his words, and I think he's right. He said the setting feels more like an NCAA tournament game. And you don't, as much as I love the NBA, you don't get that vibe as much here. It's a 40-minute game, five fouls. As you said, the rules are more similar to the college game. And
yep.
the energy is more like a college game. I mean, Rudy Gobert said this is something he's been dreaming about since he was a kid. So, yeah. I you don't hear guys say that in the NBA very often. So I think if you love basketball, you can be disappointed the U.S. lost, but it's to me, it's way more entertaining to watch a close game than to watch the first Dream Team beating people by 55 points every game. That's kind of boring.
And that's what the Dream Team did. It opened up the eyes of young men and women around the world to this great game of basketball that you and I love so much. And Pau Gasol said it. Dirk Nowitzki said it. Other guys have said it. Hey, when we watched the Dream Team in 1992, we were just kids, but it gave us the possibility that we could someday play basketball at a high level. And, this has been coming for many years. I will say this. I was at a low point in my love of the U.S. Vis-a-vis the international game back in 2004. When we just had a dreadful Olympic team.
That was an embarrassment.
And it was an embarrassment. I don't feel that way now because for different circumstances, we didn't send the best players this time. Other countries had some guys that could have played for them that didn't, and that's the way it goes. But, I kind of like the vibe that basketball has right now when we see these great players come from around the world and mix in with some of the great American players that play in the NBA. And by the way, as we have pointed out, many of us over the last 15 years, to these high school and college kids, you better work on your game and continue to do it. Because, there are now, of the 450 spots on NBA rosters, they're being occupied by about 120 players born outside of the United States. And that simply means if you don't get on your on your game, you're going to lose the opportunity to play in a league to a kid from Croatia
yep.
or Spain or France or even Australia.
You know, it's a great point. Again, I'm quoting a lot of what Windhorst wrote because I think he's right. He said the difference is, and I think this is a good thing, this game was not a tragedy like the loss to Greece in 2006 because it wasn't a product of focus issues or trust issues. And Joe Harris said, look, I'm not going to walk out of here with my head low because we played our asses off. And they did.
Yeah.
Everybody who watched, they tried. They were focused. The other team was just better on this day. And, if you try your best, it's a different vibe than, like you said, those losses were centered around teams that really disrespected the game in many ways.
Yeah, and I think because of the influx of these great young players like Jokic and Tomas Santoransky, who played for the Czech Republic, who played with the Chicago Bulls this year, and the Greek Freak, and so many others, they're such a healthy. Like think about the trash talking that was going on playfully between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert the last month.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, they're going to go back to training camp and try to win a Western Conference title and an NBA title in Utah, and they're going to have, you know, the shared experience of competing against each other when the last 2 years, because Donovan's going into year three, these guys have kind of sweated blood together, and now they get a chance to go back at each other in the locker room. It's really healthy because so many of these stars from around the world are NBA players. But the other beautiful thing that I've seen in this tournament is guys that you haven't heard of who are playing at a high level in Europe, much like you and I talked about the TBT during the summer, a great tournament that we're a part of. There's great players that are not in the NBA playing in the FIBA World Cup, and you know, those guys get their due today too. For example, Nando DeColo, who had a cup of coffee with the Toronto Raptors and is still a very high-level European player who can play in the NBA, but chooses to rather be a star in Europe as opposed to being a role player.
Yeah, no, there's no question. You know what? Everybody else, if you're living a comfortable life and you're living where you want to live, you know, I mean, just to say you're back in the NBA, and some of these guys no longer need to do that because the money in Europe, while it's not NBA-ish, you're not living in poverty.
Yep. So I
mean,
not at all.
That's a good
thing.
I bet he makes
$2 to $3 million.
That's what I'm saying. That's you know, now you're talking some real money. Here's the other thing that, as a Knicks fan, and you are also, we have to wonder: how does Frank Ntilikina basically outplay Kemba Walker, but the Knicks are trying as hard as they can to trade him to anybody? They'd trade him for some used kitchen equipment, I think, if they could. And they can't get rid of the guy. And he basically outplayed Kemba Walker, who's an all-star. What is going on there?
Well, you just said why. And the answer is because they are the New York Knicks. Okay? And I hate to say it, and, but it's true. This is a kid that I watched play, you know, internationally before he got drafted.
You liked him, right?
Well, I didn't love him to be picked so high. I thought he would be in the top 15 picks, but what you have, when he came over to the NBA, he was drafted as an 18-year-old. He's only 21 right now. And here's what I tweeted today. Number one, you never give up on a 21-year-old lottery pick. That's the first thing.
True.
The second thing was, he was drafted by Phil Jackson. And, again, Phil Jackson did a horrendous job in New York. But he was drafted to be a combo guard in a triangle offense. They fire Phil that summer, and now he has to be a point guard. And that's not his true position. He is an outstanding defender and a combo guard. And the third thing is, it's critical to young NBA players that the team has a belief and a confidence in that guy. And that's evident. That's not something the Knicks have given this young guy. They are best, and now they're going to try to make him fit into whatever they're trying to do in New York, which is still
hard to figure out.
So now they're going to get some blowback because of his play. And I'm of the opinion that someday Frank Ntilikina will be on a playoff team in their rotation as a combo guard, helping that team win games, but it will not be with the New York Knicks.
Well, because you summed it up, because at the end you said winning games, and we know they don't do that. So
not at this point. Sadly, it's so sad. You know, it's where you and I mean, think about how much hope there was for the Knicks when they were tanking all season.
Yeah, well, you know, it's. I don't know how they ever get that thing straightened out, and that may be selfish, but it's just that when you look at it, you said it earlier. If you could figure out what they were trying to do, you'd say, "Oh, okay, all right." But I have no idea what the hell they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Hey, and by the way, here's an aside for you: the Louisville Cardinals have the second coming of Klay Thompson. Just want you to know that.
And who's that?
In Samuel Williamson.
Oh wow! Well, that's a pretty strong statement.
That young man, I think, has a chance to be a one-and-done guy. I think he's going to be a fabulous player for Coach Mack and the guys over there at, over at Louisville.
Wow.
I love that. Love watching that kid play. Athletic, can shoot it. Has a chance to be a big-time college player this year.
Well, Klay Thompson, I've happened to notice, he's pretty good at basketball. So,
well, that's high praise, and it's more about style, but the kid is a true. I saw him play at the under-19s. And he got cut. He should have made the team, but they've had a number of guys who played USA in the past that were part of that family. And I get it. Those kids have played under 16s, under 17s, under 18s. But clearly he was one of the five best players there. in my opinion. I think he's not knowing how he's done this summer. I haven't checked in with my man Dino Gaudio yet, but I fell in love with that kid. I think he's going to be a really good player, you know, for Coach Mack. And, you know, you got to be excited because I think they have a chance to have a very good team.
Well, that's certainly the buzz around here. And a guy just texted us and said, holy crap, that's high praise indeed. So, but you're right. I mean, if he is that way, knowing how Warwick can score the basketball,
yep.
You know, we're always, you and I know, share that because we've talked about it. Can never. It's like money. You can never have too many shooters.
Well, I was watching, I got to tell you, I was watching video of Jordan the other day, and I was you know, if you may remember, I saw the guys, I think, in New York, right? Did they play early in the season last year?
Yeah, they played in the NIT last year.
Exactly, and I did an opening round game there, and, you know, I thought Jordan was a good player. I didn't know he was going to be as good as he played at the end of the year, but I have to tell you, man, I don't think there's five better shooters in the country than Jordan Wara, based on what I watch at the end of the year, watching those ACC games and, you know, the one NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, I think I will give the kid credit for this. He's always had supreme confidence in his own skill,
yes.
Almost to his own detriment a little bit, because I think when Chris got here, I know what Dino tells you, nobody questioned him as a bad kid or anything, but I think
yeah.
he really kind of believed, hey, when the new staff comes in, they'll recognize what a great talent I am, and then everything's going to come my way. And he was not playing early for the same reasons he wasn't playing even under David Padgett. He's not instinctively a great defender.
Right.
He had a lot of stuff to work on there. But by the end of the year, his offense was great. And Franny, he was rebounding his butt off. I mean, he was going to get the ball. And if he does that and just makes an effort defensively, I agree with you. I mean, I think he's going to be one of the best players in the ACC next year.
I agree. And he makes, you know, the aside from the shooting, I know you saw this at the end of the year. The kid makes tough shots, too.
Yes, he does. And if he's got other shooters on the floor with him, and you're telling me Williamson is a guy that's going to be able to do that, that could be entertaining. The question is, they both kind of play the same position, though, don't they?
Well, you know what? The way they played Jordan last year, I know they still can play two bigs. I was kind of studying the Cardinals the other day. I know they can play two bigs. I have a feeling their best line – this is just as an outsider from, you know, here in Colorado Springs today – I think their best lineup's going to be just platooning the two bigs again, Williams and Stephen Enoch. I could see Jordan playing the four, Samuel Williamson playing the three, and I know they got some other young guys they like. And then, you know, we'll see how Lamar Kimball fits in transferring from St. Joe's, but I could see them playing three and four without much difficulty. They'll be a little smaller.
I would trade that for two guys who could shoot it like that. I mean, I'm a big believer
yep.
in that.
Yeah, and I think that's the way the college game's going. And, you know, I think Chris will have a good game plan for how to play this, you know, this group of eight or nine that I think is going to eventually be on the floor.
What are you doing in Colorado? It's too early to be skiing.
You know, we had enough of the Texas heat, and last summer we bought a home in Colorado Springs.
You never told me that. I did not know that.
I'm up here until like the end of the month. I'm getting itchy. My wife knows it. I want to get the practices. I'm a little landlocked up here. I've got Air Force Academy right down the road.
Beautiful. Colorado Springs is gorgeous.
It's a beautiful place to be in the summer, and my wife refuses to go out in Dallas until the weather drops below 85. Because our best friends down there are these large mosquitoes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And she's had enough of them, so I'm just like up here, you know, watching college football on the weekends and watching some tape and getting ready for a fun, you know, fun season.
I got to admit, I'm on your wife's side there. That's nice work if you can get it. Why would you be in a rush to go back and sweat your ass off? I mean,
you know what they say. You know, there was a guy that came up here, and it's really sad. They said the doctor told him he had terminal cancer, and he suggested he move to Colorado Springs. And the guy said, if I move there, will I live longer? He said, no, you won't live longer, but it'll just feel like
that's now you, the New York in you is definitely showing through, pal. That's all I'm telling you.
We got a bagel. We got a bagel store here. We got a deli. We got a couple of Italian restaurants. It's a good spot.
Thanks for joining us, Franny. Take care of yourself. I'll look forward to seeing you soon. Be well.
Catch you soon. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Franny Fraschilla. That's funny. It just seemed like you live longer. Oh, man. You know what, though? I can tell you this. One thing that makes your life seem like it's just zipping by is when you get to go to great sporting events and great concerts. And if you want to go to those things and not pay as much money, then I got a company for you. Tickets for less. If you're looking to score a great deal on a great deal on football tickets or shows or concerts, well, here's your place. The best seats at the best prices, and they never charge any service fees. Tickets for Less is a long-term partner of Union Broadcasting and has been a trusted ticket source for our brother station in Kansas City for over 10 years. Don't get stuck paying more on other sites when you can get the same great seats for all the weekend's home games, as well as the concerts going on in the big venues in town at Tickets for Less. They have access to great deals for the concerts at the Yum Center and from football to concerts. Score your tickets without all the fees at ticketsforless.com, where once again I haven't been able to find the original instructions, but I'm fairly certain that's only a once-a-week read. We'll take a short timeout as Nick shakes his head in disbelief as we roll on here on this very highfalutin Wednesday, where we took a good look at some pros and some we really had
that's
a
very very you should probably academic. Retweet that on the Fan Outfitters Twitter feed. The SoundCloud link is up for that.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay.
You can also check it out at the podcast center at ESPNLouisville.com.
Sure. Why couldn't
but
you?
It is perusing around the interwebs and on Twitter for sure. The what's the official terminology? I guess the literary symposium we did on
yes. That's a good way of putting it. That's
Antonio
I would not
Brown's.
Have. Yeah, the literary symposium, breaking down the great word stylings and poet. I don't know. It's free form poetry or prose. It's that. It's
I think
kind
it's
of
prose.
It's kind of in the middle. It's
well, I mean, it was just from text messages. So I mean, that's prose,
I would
right?
Say, well, yeah, the form of communication does determine what type of communication is. You could have. You know, Emily Dickinson could have sent her work out today and sent it over an email or a tweet, and it would still be poetry.
All right, so we want to know Wednesday. What the hell is prose? I always thought prose was like
it's the opposite of cons. I think that's why they say pros and cons.
I thought prose was like a positive.
It
thing.
Was. It was. I can't believe you took me seriously.
No, I.
What is prose? Prose is so-called ordinary writing, sentences and paragraphs without any metrical or rhyming structure. If you write, I walked all alone over the hillsides, that's prose. It says, if you say, I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats high over vales and hills, that's poetry. See the difference?
No.
Well, one didn't rhyme, but one used a, is that a simile or a metaphor? A simile uses as or like. No, it didn't have. So that's a metaphor. I wandered lonely. Oh, no, as a cloud. So it would be a simile. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats high or vales and hills. That's poetry. If you write, I walked about all alone over the hillside, that's prose. See, it's not poetry just because it rhymes.
Right. No, yeah. That's, a lot of poems don't rhyme.
Yeah. So there you go. So, but that's the problem.
And they bother me.
I mean.
Why the hell ain't you rhyming, Shakespeare?
That
must be so freaking good at this writing thing.
All right, time to take a breath and time out. We'll come back. ESPN 680-1057.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here. On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
A lot of golfers in this community, a lot of golf fans. This is a bit surprising to some folks, I think. I believe this was just released about an hour and a half or so ago. Rory McIlroy beat Brooks Koepka for the Player of the Year voting in the PGA Tour. The 2018-2019 PGA Tour season. Somewhat surprising vote by the PGA Tour members. He edged Koepka for PGA Tour Player of the Year, announced earlier today. It's the third time he's won the award named after Jack Nicklaus, the Jack Nicklaus Award. A lot of the voting, the people seem to think, is because he shot 66 on the last 18 holes of the Tour Championship at the end, won the $15 million bonus for the Tour Championship. And he said, I couldn't be more proud of what I achieved this year. McIlroy said, I wanted to try and bring my best every single weekend. I'm very honored. But the thing is that this is only the third time the Player of the Year voted by the PGA Tour and the PGA Player of the Year based on points have been different. Nick Faldo got the PGA. The PGA Tour members are different than the PGA. Most of you know that. The Tour is its own entity. So they each give a Player of the Year. And the PGA in that year gave Nick Faldo the Player of the Year. Wayne Levy was the Tour vote. Corey Pavin was the PGA Player of the Year. And Fred Couples in 1991. So 90 and 91, the separation was so small, they were two different ones. But it hasn't happened since then. So that's 28 years. It's the first time that there's been a player, a difference in PGA of America Player of the Year based on points and the PGA Tour, which is a vote of the current tour players. So that's a tough one. He's the number one player in the world in the world golf ranking. What he's done, I think what's worked against him, quite honestly, with the other people who vote, Koepka that is the perception is he doesn't really bring his best unless it's in the majors. And I think for the other guys on the tour, they kind of appreciate the importance of you know, being able to just grind, for lack of a better word. You've got to be able to go out and do it your best. So McIlroy won $24.3 million last season. That's the most in a single season on tour. Texter says Koepka is not a popular personality. There's probably some truth to that, too, it's sad to say. Rory is again, far be it for me to pretend I know him well, but from when he was here in Louisville, he basically charmed everybody he met. I mean, even I said all I did was ask him a question in the press room, and it was hard not to be just drawn up. He looks you right in the eye. He gives you a very thoughtful, courteous response. In fact, when you're doing what we do, and these guys don't really know you are, and you ask a question, he says, "That's a really good question." You feel like, oh. I did good. Hey, Roy, did I do good? Then he stopped talking to me. Oh, man. But that's pretty interesting. And this is why God sent me this. I don't know. But speaking of golf, my cousin and I played Elk Run for the first time last weekend. Is this what the Jefferson Elks used to be? Is that what it's called now, Elk Run? Because I was a member there. That's a fun track. Yeah. I love golf, and I find it very sad when I see golf courses close. But the fact of the matter is there should have been a shakeout in golf. There was too many golf courses here for the number of golfers. It was not sustainable. And since I've been in town, there have been at least three or four that I can think of off the top of my head that have all closed. So it's sad. I played a lot of them. I liked a lot of them. But, there's not the demand. When Tiger Mania, everybody and their brother was picking up clubs, and now it's not as much as it once was. We've only got a minute or two before we go. I saved this for last because it's kind of hard to segue into anything else, but it is, of course, the anniversary of 9/11. I don't care where you live in the world, if you have a bone of decency in your body, that was a devastating and absolutely heartbreaking episode to watch. If you were an American, it was clearly even more painful. And again, I don't want to play that game, but if you were in the Northeast, as I was at that time, we were living in Connecticut, it was... I've talked about this. If you're a regular listener of the show, you probably have heard me say some of these same things before, but it's difficult to explain the abject terror, which I hate to say because that's why they do things like this. They're terrorists, but I would have to reluctantly tell you in that regard, they succeeded. They terrorized the whole nation, and they certainly terrorized that whole part of the country. I remember at ESPN, it was a very open campus when I got up there. And after that, they put fences up and checkpoints to get in. And you remember that was also when the anthrax thing, it was right about the same time. And I remember I was at work one night, not long after 9/11, and Linda Cohn had opened an envelope and there was some sort of a white powder in there. And they made us all vacate. I mean, it was like, is this what life's going to be for going on for the rest of our time? It was a terrifying thing, but I bring that up because, in order to have courage, you have to have some sort of a fear to overcome. And the courage of Americans in general, and particularly in that part of the country, my wife made the trip from Connecticut on more than one occasion to go and work at the church. You all know about that church that was right next to 9/11 that they used as basically a 24/7 support center for the first responders and all the people that were involved in trying to, I mean, right after it, going through and still hoping they could find, the gruesomeness of that story is even hard to articulate. you know, they were finding body parts, and it's unbelievable. And she was in there and just doing what those people did. It was, you know, New York can get cold at night in the early fall. And so it was cold nights, and these guys would be coming in, and they were just making soup and food and coffee. And she said it was something that, you know, nobody would ever want to go through again. But it was difficult to walk away and not be absolutely moved and impressed by the courage and the passion and the commitment that all these people had. And if you've ever gone back, and I have gone back, it's very sobering. I went up to the top of the new tower, and you look down, and it literally overlooks exactly where the old towers were. And they have these two pools that are exactly the perimeter, the size of those pools, are exactly what the base of the old twin towers were. And there's all the names of the victims, you know, inscribed all about. And you look down, and it's a very, very, I think they get it exactly right. If you were to make it just about sadness and terror, then you've defeated the purpose. I mean, that's the whole point. The whole idea was you can't let the terrorists change the joy that it is to live and to live in this country. But at the same time, you're trying to be very respectful of how devastating it was. I had friends from my high school that worked and were down there. And it's a very, very painful thing. So if you go to the new towers, they have just the right amount of the feeling is just right. It's very respectful. It's not silly. It's not disrespectful, but it's also full of life and full of hope. And there's a restaurant up there. And yes, they want you to come in and live your life. And it's a fine line. So it's a somber thing. If you've not had a chance to go, I would recommend it. It's all those people who were the people who helped in the aftermath are tremendous heroes, there's no question. Unless you know something, we'll do it tomorrow. Andy's next. Thanks for being with us, ESPN Radio.
Your home for Lamar Jackson and Baltimore Ravens football is right here on ESPN Louisville.
Jackson backs up, slings it to the back of the end zone. He's got Miles Boykin. Touchdown, Ravens!
Lamar looks to stay hot on Sunday when the Ravens host Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And the only place in Louisville to hear every snap is right here on 93.9 The Ville. Pre-game coverage begins at 12:30 with kickoff at 1. Live play-by-play of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens is presented by Liquor Barn. Download their app and have Liquor Barn delivered to you. And Molly Malone's in St. Matthews, your home for the Lamar Bar.
At WitchWitch, they believe that a great sandwich has the power to make any day better. WitchWitch has launched their new favorites menu, including clubs with top-quality grilled and breaded chicken, plus new shakes, including birthday cake, the famous Courtney's Cookie, and yellow M&M shakes. Two area locations, 221 South Hurstburn Parkway and Old Brownsboro Crossing. Mention ESPN, you'll get a large build-your-own Witch for just $6.80. Order online or download the new app. WitchWitch, superior sandwiches.
Window World has you covered when it comes to vinyl siding. Offering a variety of colors, styles, and textures, Window World has quality options designed for you. Call now for a free estimate and have our professional installers update the look of your home. We're America's largest exterior remodeler for a reason. Our exceptional siding provides protection, energy efficiency, and beauty for a lifetime. Siding from Window World, simply the best for less.
At Class Act Federal Credit Union, it's all about the people and education. Class Act serves the educational community of Louisville and surrounding counties, including University of Louisville students and alumni. Ask about our honors checking account that yields 4% interest and allows $25 in ATM refunds each month. Drop your bank, join the movement. Text ESPN to 502-212-3167 to enter our weekly $25 Visa gift card drawing. Again, text the word ESPN to 502-212-3167. Visit classact.org today.
Louisville football looks to stay winning on Saturday night when the Cards travel to Nashville to take on the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. And for the most pre- and post-game coverage, along with live play-by-play of the game, keep it locked on ESPN Louisville. The Coors Light pregame show with Mark Ennis will broadcast live from Nashville beginning at 2 o'clock on 93.9 The Ville, followed by the WKU call of the Hilltoppers and Cards. And then directly following the game, it's the Coors Light postgame show. We're the first place that will take your calls. And you'll hear live from Scott Satterfield. If it's Louisville football, we talk about it on ESPN Louisville.
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680. WHBE Newburgh and 105.7
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.